you know, stock market analysts and talking to Greenspan and everyone, they assume everything is going to be the same as it's been in the past. Same turnover, same stock market price, everything. Now, is that the basis? Are those the assumptions? They may be perfectly good assumptions, but are those the assumptions underlying the $186?
I believe so, Your Honor, because...
Okay, well, that's your big problem, right? Because you compute a value without taking into account that you've got a lot of downside risk, and if it materializes, people are going to run out because of this September 30, and because also, presumably for most of these people, this stock is their principal asset. And so, you know, they're very under-diversified. So if they see, you know, something bad happening, they're going to get out immediately.
And
this is exactly what they did. Right, precisely. But what they should have done, I think, is having computed $186 on the basis of, you know, a riskless future. You should then say, look, there are risks here, aging workforce, the June 30, September 30, the under-diversification. So we're going to say 176 or 150, because we have to reflect the fact this is a risky, very fragile value.
Well, two things, Your Honor. First of all, had that been done, I think that we would have had another set of plaintiffs complaining that there had just been an arbitrary reduction in valuation if there's an assumption that everything is going to go on the same. And I don't believe it's proper to reduce the valuation for what you're essentially describing, which is really whether or not the company will have the wherewithal to meet its obligation. The company chose to make that obligation, and 15 years of employees benefited from it. I think the trustee was proper. If the trustee had arbitrarily set a valuation which knocked 10% off of the appraisal price that Duff and Phelps had come up with, I think that they would have had a difficult time.
Not an appraisal, $180 a share, is that right?
$104 a share.
And that was, what, about 30% more than the year before, right?
Right, and the Dow Jones had gone up.
I think would raise a red flag, Yard, as you want to examine the situation more carefully than... If you had that big a jump in value from one year to another, of course you can say, well, there's a bubble in the stock market, so that explains everything, but I'm not sure that you really looked into the discrepancy between that price and the one that you got the year before carefully enough.
Well, if you go back year over year, it was always an all-time high.
This is on an appraisal base.
But also on the basis of turnover. The turnover had not changed year over year, even though the stock reached an all-time high for several years running.
That's what you said.
When you say all-time high, that's not a market price, that's an appraised price, right?
Well, because this is a private company, essentially, 100% owned ESOP.
Is this a great growth company, or what's the secret?
No, it's a solid company. The one thing I can't tell you, of course, is what the value is now. It's not in the record.
What percentage of the workforce did leave?
Well, Your Honor, I can't answer that question because we never measured it by employee. We always measured employee turnover by percentage.
Oh, and that's ridiculous. They obviously know how many employees they lose every year.
I'm sure they know. I just don't know.
It's not in the record?
I don't believe it's in the record.
And this marketability difference,
The demographics, certainly the Pearl study, are in the records that Mr. Belger looked at. And I'm sure that they would have taken, I know that they took that into account.
This marketability, it's normal operating procedure to include some discussion of that in the appraisal report, I think.
Well, you were discussion.
Of course, when you got on later and they started saying, well, we're not going to pay everybody cash on the press, we're going to give them notes and so forth and so on. I suppose that certainly altered the marketability situation.
Well, that's the answer. We had available, and that's why there really was never any crisis here at all. Once they felt that they needed to amend the plan.
Didn't they think the marketability factor might change, and then wasn't there a risk that that they would not always be able to pay cash for the shares?
I think that's right, that they wanted to be able to pay cash to employees as long as they could.
That means the stock is 100% marketable, is it?
And also, of course, the plaintiff's expert admitted that he would not have had any discount for lack of marketability in 1999, the year preceding this appraisal.
Well, that doesn't excuse him from not including the discussion of the mailing report, does it?
Well, I do think that the fact that the discussion is not in the report does not mean that it wasn't considered. The trustee is an institution sophisticated financially, and so is Duff & Phelps. In fact, it was considered.
It's certainly very common, if not universally the case, that an appraisal of a closely held company like this has a discussion of marketability as part of the report.
Your Honor, the company was always able to redeem all the shares that were put to it. So I don't think there should be any discount for lack of marketability.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Becker, for displaying this view. Move on to our next case.